Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Is he the lover of your life? From heaven he came down. Oh, what joy I found. You don't know when or where, because you just wasn't there. Thank you. You don't know what the Lord has done for me. Can I get a witness? I heard somebody say he just made a way out of no way. Do I have a witness in the building? He turned my midnight into day. You don't know what the Lord has done for me. I'm going to say it one more time. You don't know what the Lord has done for me. If God done anything for anybody, just wave your hand. I'm just looking at who I'm talking to today. Now, if you know that you know it was nobody but God, wave your hand. Yeah. I think I asked this the other week. Anybody in here walking in favor? I mean, you getting stuff you know you don't deserve, but yet God keep pouring it on you. Yeah. And so we praise God for all of you today. Thank God for you. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we love you today. We thank you for life, health, and strength. Now, Lord, as we come to expound up on your word, lead and guide us, Father God. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that you may increase. So rise up, King Jesus, and show yourself strong. When I open up my mouth, Lord, you speak through me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father God, open up our ears that we may hear, our hearts that we may receive. Open up our spirit so that your will, not our will, lead and guide us each and every day. Now, Lord, forgive us of our sins, known and unknown, conscious and unconscious. We confess it to you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Then help us to live better on tomorrow, to be who you've called us to be, to boldly stand and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Do it now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray and we say, amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise in this place. One more time. We have a scripture we want to read in your hearings. Our children did a great job. Y'all give them some encouragement for reading the scripture. There's a couple of things I just want to point out of the scripture today. I'm just trying to read through the scripture and get to the word today. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. Here we go. Let's go to John chapter 7, verse 28 through 37, I believe it's going to be, instead of 36. But anyway, here we go. It says this: Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out. He cried out. Yes, you know me, and you know where I'm from. And I am not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You don't know him, but I know him because I'm from him and sent from him. And he sent me. Amen. And he sent me. At this, they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his time has not yet come. I just want to interject this right here. Can't nobody hurt you until God say so. Can't nobody do nothing to you until God say so. Jesus said they tried to lay a hand on him, but his time has not come. They can't nobody do nothing to you until your time has come. Amen? Amen. Still, many in the crowd put their faith in him. They said, when the Christ come, will he do more miraculous signs than this man? The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, I am with you for only a short time, and then I go to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Tell somebody, everybody ain't going to heaven. The Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where our people live scattered among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, you will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come? On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, look at somebody and ask them, are you thirsty? If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. In the King James Version, it says, living water will flow from your belly. By this, he meant the Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit.
Spirit.
Whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Right.
If there was no crucifixion, there would be no Holy Spirit. Hello, Stringhorn. On hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet. Others said, he is the Christ. Still others asked, how can the Christ come from Galilee? Look at somebody and say, you don't know where I'm from. Where I'm from is not who I am. Shut up now. One scripture said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Hello, hello. Some folks don't know your history. They don't know your background. All they see is who you are today. They don't know what God called you to do. Does not the scriptures say that Christ would come from David's family and from Bethlehem? Well, they didn't read the scriptures good enough. They don't know his history. They don't know that he was born in Bethlehem. And if you read down through 42 generations, he came through the line of David. So they didn't know Jesus' background or history. That's why they didn't know who he was. I'm trying to help somebody. They don't know your background and history. That's why they don't know who you are. Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Now let me help somebody right here. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the lover of your life, you're going to have some division. Because everybody ain't going to be on the same page. Shut up now. Everybody ain't on the same page you on. Everybody ain't on Jesus like you on Jesus. Everybody don't love him like you love him. Everybody don't understand what he's doing in your life. Everybody don't know the anointing and call that Jesus had called you to. And so therefore, some folks going to run from you. Some folks don't want to hear you. They don't want you to even open your mouth. Because every time you open your mouth, Jesus going to slip out. Shut up, straight heart. They were divided. Some, here we go again, some wanted to seize him. But no one laid a hand on him. They can't touch the anointing of God. One scripture said they tried to put their hands on it and he walked through them.
Right.
Can I say that again? Yeah. The Bible literally said he walked through them. The Bible said he walked through them. Not around. He didn't go hiding. He didn't go down the low way. No, the Bible said he walked through them when they tried to throw him off a cliff. They had him backed up to the cliff. Cliff behind him, number of people in front of him. The Bible said he walked through them and they couldn't touch him. I want to focus today on verses 37 through 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if, because he's in a great crowd. You know, everybody ain't on him. if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. You can't drink everybody water. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from your belly. I'm sticking with the King James right there. By this, he meant the Spirit. If we believe in him, then the Spirit going to be in us, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. It's a bold statement. It's a bold statement. But I want to talk about outside the box. Spirit-led and Spirit-filled church. It's a bold statement of Jesus' promise to the believers that experience, and it'll be nothing like we ever experienced before or anything that we have seen before. Out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. The setting for this statement is at the feast that would end the Jewish festivals of the tabernacle, where many people have come ready to eat. They have traveled from far away to come to this feast. They are hungry, they are thirsty, they are ready to sit down, fill their hungry bellies with whatever the host had provided for them. Jesus, understanding that the guests are hungry and ready to drink and eat, stands up and shouts to the people, because a whole bunch of commotion was going on. And he said to all these people at the feast, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, I'm sure many people thought his message was strange, but many who comprehend what he was promising understood that he was offering them something much better than what the great feast was going to provide. The feast was important, don't get it wrong. The feast was well prepared. The feast was rehearsed. The feast was expensive. The feast was what everybody came to expect. The feast was out of tradition. The feast was great. But Jesus stands up and says, I've got something much better prepared for you than this feast. I'm feeling it now. What you put in your belly ain't important. What's in your spirit? I already cut to the chase. Sometimes what goes in the belly ain't good for you. But Jesus said, I've got something much better prepared for you than this. He let them know that there was coming something that no level of expertise or preparation or rehearsal or expense or tradition could ever substitute for. There was coming something that was so ginormous that if it was to come upon you, it would fill you more than you can ever contain. It was something that no glass of water or wine could compete with. I don't care what's going on in your life until the Holy Spirit get a hold of you. As a matter of fact, he likened it to not just a nice glass of cold, refreshing water, but he said it's like a river of living, eternal water. He said, what I have to offer you will not just keep you alive and refresh you for a day or two, but he said, this living water will be alive where? Inside of you, and will flow where? Can I stay there for a second? It's going to be in you, but then you got to let it flow out of you. If you keep holding on to it, you're going to bust. You're going to have a malfunction. You're going to feel sick inside. You can't contain it all. So if God put it in you, you got to let it flow out of you. That's for every principle. That's what your money... Oh, wait a minute, Strayhorn. Hold on. You was good until you got there. I got to save. I got to keep. I'm going on vacation. I got to do this. I got to keep it for this. My kid's going to college. I got to keep it. No, he said if he put it in you, it needs to flow out. Flow out. Look at somebody and say flow out. Listen, when the Holy Spirit is in you, there will be nothing. There will be no holding this thing in. He said it will flow out of you whether you want it to or not. Do you find yourself just doing stuff because the Spirit told you to do it? Anybody ever did something the Spirit told you to do and you didn't want to do it but you did it anyway? Hello, hello, hello. Because you just couldn't keep it to yourself. It will flow out of you when you want it to, and when you're not expecting it to, it will still flow out of you. He said it's like a river. It will be continuous. It will be constant. It will be relentless. Rivers never stop flowing. All right. I was down in Gatlinburg, and we was on the Pigeon Forge River. And I'm like, where does water keep coming from? Because no matter how many times I go down there, Minister Lee, the water is still flowing. So I decided one time, I'm going to see where this water is coming from. So the Pigeon Forge River goes up the mountain. So we drove up the mountain. We get to the summit, to the very peak of Clingsman Dome. Some of us been there. Amen. You get to the top of Clingsman Dome, and you can see a waterfall coming out of the mountain. Then my question was, where that water come from? Because it just keep coming. It just keep flowing. So there's something that constantly fills this thing to keep it to flow over. We was visiting this one time, we saw this waterfall coming out the side of a cliff. I'm like, where'd that water come from? How do water get that high to continue to flow? Because water flows down. So how does it start at this point? There must be a God. Because that's beyond my understanding. That's beyond my comprehension. How does it keep year after year, day after day, month after month, it continues to flow? Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit works in us the same way. It continues to flow out of us. It don't stay. It flows. Verse 39 tells us that he's not really talking about water. He's talking about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, however you want to contain it. Talking about being infilled with something that will continue to flow out of you. We talked about it a little bit last week. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that are produced that comes when a person is filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Something's going to happen. Amen. I want to talk about today a Spirit-filled and Spirit-led church. Amen? A Spirit-filled and Spirit-led church will always operate outside the box with a flow that is continuous that God will put in us that will flow out of us into the community where we are. Amen. Here's a question for you. How can a person talk about something that they have never experienced before? Amen. Huh? Amen. How? 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 How could you be a successful person in business? Hello? And never done it before. How can a church talk about and promise to the world the help of the Holy Spirit if in fact it is not Spirit-filled and Spirit-led in the first place? Church has to be something more. It has to be more than just coming on Sunday morning. Hello? It has to be more than just well prepared. It has to be more than well rehearsed. It has to be more than being expensive. It has to be more than what everybody expects. It should never be tradition. I believe this church needs to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. I believe we need to be in a place where the Holy Ghost of God has free reign and free operation, and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit flow in us and out of us. I don't know about you, but I'm after more than just a social gathering on Sunday morning. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're here, but I'm expecting a flow of the Spirit. It's good to see you, but I want the Holy Ghost to show up. Look, I'm not a good enough speaker to captivate you with words. I'm completely dependent upon the Spirit of God for the words that I share each and every week. Yes, we are prepared. Yes, we do rehearse. Yes, we do aim for excellence in everything that we do. But beyond that, on top of all that, more importantly than all that, what we should expect beyond all the work, the rehearsal, the expense, the preparation, is for God to show up. Hello, 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 hello. Without his touch on everything we do, we're just another nice place to gather.
All right. Hallelujah.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
We've been talking about the church that's outside the box. And if we're going to be an outside the box church, then we probably don't need to talk about John 7:38. But if we're going to be a church that's outside the box, then we're going to need his help in getting there. And the key to becoming an outside-the-box church is found in John 7:38. We have to be willing and able to allow the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, if you will, to flow through us as individuals and as a corporate church. Realize, this church will never become a spirit-filled and spirit-led church until you and I as individuals become spirit-filled and spirit-led.
Amen.
So can I ask, why not?
Amen.
Why not? Why not? People want to make up all kinds of excuses and reasons why we should not get carried away in church. Right. Folks want us to be quiet. Want to tell us to settle down. Why should we? When God's been good to me. Church is not a mortuary. Church is not a funeral home. Hello, somebody. Church is a place where the Holy Ghost is supposed to have free reign and opportunity to touch lives that are hurting and who needs to be ministered to. There is no form. There is no fashion. There is no real program. We are ready at any moment to stop whatever we are doing and allow God's Spirit to work and minister to his people. We're not led by the clock or the program. The Spirit leads us. Somebody asked me one time, they said, Pastor, what do you be thinking about when you're coming through the door? I said, when I stop at that door, I say, Lord, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. I heard somebody just the other week say, I heard them, they didn't think I heard them, but I heard them, complaining about how long we in service. I heard them, they said, we've been in here over 2 hours. I said, well, you can stay in the movies for over 2 hours. You can drop it like it's hot in the club more than 2 hours. You can hang with your so-called friends for more than 2 hours. We can sit in the hairdresser for more than 2 hours. We can go to the amusement park for longer than 2 hours. We can do everything else we want to do more than 2 hours. But when it comes to the things of God, we want to set our clock. We want God to do it in 60 minutes or less, or we out of here to go do something else more than 2 hours. Shut up straight on. I will never apologize or compromise my worship to God. Because you don't know my story. I'm going to stop. There's only one requirement for us as a church and as individuals to become a spirit-filled and spirit-led church. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. I'm pretty sure that's going to be more than 2 hours. Shut up, sweetheart. That's a call to lifetime. He that believed on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Church, you gotta want it. You gotta want it. You gotta want it. You can't just lily dilly dally around it. You gotta be thirsty for it. It has to be what we desire when we come to church. We can't be nonchalant about it. We can't be careless about it. We got to want it. When you woke up this morning, did you want it? When you was driving in your car on your way down here, did you want it? When we walked into the church, did we want it? Did we ask the Spirit of the Lord to fall fresh on me today? Listen, listen, I appreciate all of us who do work in ministry. I appreciate the singing, the musicians, the sound technicians. I appreciate everything. Kudos to our children. Great job. Amen. Thank you for the ministry that's going on. But I can say, if we don't have the touch of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit upon us all and everything that we do, then we're missing out on an amazing opportunity. God want to meet us where we are, want to take us to where we need to be, and want us to help somebody else along the way. The Holy Ghost want to fill somebody today if we just open up our hearts and say, Lord, fill me till I want no more. We say we're a church where real needs are met and where lives are transformed, developing strong families, improving the lives of young people, and changing the face of the community. We say that, but listen, you and I can't do that. We can't do it. Only Jesus can do that. I have no ability to transform anything or anybody. But Jesus can, and he will, if we as a congregation will only become spirit-filled and spirit-led. What do you mean? Let's look at Galatians. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the, I'm glad it's on the screen here, everybody can read. Freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in what? Love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your ass. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by who? The only one who can destroy the church is us. Because Jesus already proclaimed, go back, don't turn yet, don't turn yet. Because Jesus already proclaimed that the gates of hell should not prevail against his church. Hello? Did he not say that? So therefore, I ain't got to worry about the outside influences. I ain't got to worry about folks who are outside the church to come and tear up the church. What we got to look out is folk in the church tearing up the church. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help somebody. Because folks on the outside don't know what's going on the inside. So the only one who can tear it up is somebody from the inside. The only one who can betray Jesus was somebody on the inside who's been with him for 3.5 years, watching him teach, preach, deliver, heal, do all these things. But yet the spirit of the devil got in him, shifted him, and he betrayed Jesus from within the disciples. It wasn't a look, we just read where they tried to put their hands on him and they couldn't touch him. Folk on the outside couldn't do nothing with Jesus. So it had to be somebody on the inside that went to the folks on the outside to betray Jesus back on the inside. So I ain't got to worry about what people saying on the street. It's what people saying in the church that destroys the church. So if we keep on biting and dividing each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the what?
Spirit.
Live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. That's why the Holy Ghost is very important. Amen. So I say, live by the Spirit. I heard it. I heard somebody say, how I do that? I'm going to answer, keep reading the scripture. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. So that you do not do what you want. Can I read that line one more time? So you do not do what you want. In other words, you're going to do one or the other. You ain't going to do what you want to do. You're going to either do what's wrong or you're going to do what's right. When you woke up this morning, there was a conflict to even come to church or not. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. You ain't got to tell me if you're doing it or not. I can just watch you. Because it's obvious. You ain't got to tell me what you're doing. I can just watch you and know what you're doing. Because it's obvious what you're doing. The Bible said the sinful nature are obvious. What are they? Sexual immorality. It's obvious. Hello, somebody. Impurity and debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft. Hatred and discord. Jealousy. Fits of rage. Selfish ambition. Dissensions. Factions and envy. Drunkenness. Orgies. And the light. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like those that live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not. It's obvious. You living like that, you're going to hell. Just had to break it down in simple terms. But conjunction function. What's your function? But in other words, that was the bad news. Here goes the good news. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, can I stay there for one second? That's why I underlined it. So it'll jog my memory to say something. The fruit of the Spirit. Not fruits. The fruit of the Spirit. So if you have the Spirit in you, this is what it will produce. This is what will come out of the Spirit that is in you. These are not separate things. All these things will come out if the Spirit is in you. Not just one or two of them, but all of them. Well, I got kindness, but there's some people I just hate. Then the fruit of the Spirit ain't in you. Well, I like some of these, but not all of these. Then the fruit of the Spirit ain't in you. Then you know that's just the way I am. I just get out of control sometimes. Then the Spirit ain't in you. The fruit of the Spirit. I cannot separate the banana from the skin and everything that's in it and call it something different. It's still a banana. I can't take all the seeds out the watermelon. It's still a watermelon. It still had to start with a seed. Even if it is seedless. And all seedless watermelons ain't seedless. It still got the little white seeds in it. You can doctor all you want, but God's nature will reign true. Yeah, I like these intellectual folk. Just try to debunk the word of God. And No, the fruit. Fruit. Fruit of the Spirit is. In other words, this is what's contained in the fruit. When I cook spaghetti, I don't try to give you each piece separate. I'm pretty sure you wouldn't want me to give you some raw hamburger. And then later on come with some raw spaghetti. And then later on, I ain't going to tell you all my ingredients in my spaghetti. I just stopped right there. Amen. I almost went too far. I almost gave out the special recipe. I bet. I'm going to stop right there. But if I invite you over for a spaghetti dinner, I'm going to put it all in there. And I'm going to serve you a plate of what my kids used to call Daddy's Special Magic Spaghetti. Look at Tammy. She said, I remember the day. You ask me what it is, I'm going to say spaghetti. It's my spaghetti dinner. And it comes with certain sides. So when I say spaghetti dinner, I'm going to give you everything with the sides. That's my dinner. The fruit of the Spirit is. And everything after the word is in the fruit.
Thank you, Lord.
Love is in the fruit. Joy is in the fruit. Y'all might as well preach it with me. Peace is in the fruit. Patience is in the fruit. Kindness is in the fruit. Goodness is in the fruit. Faithfulness is in the fruit. Gentleness is in the fruit. And self-control is in the fruit.
Yes.
I'm going to preach that already. That's my next 9-part series right there. I'm going to break the fruit down. I'm going to cut it open, peel it open, put it out there and distribute it and show you how it works together. I'm going to do that one day. That's another sermon. Then he says this, against such things that there's no law against love. There's no law against joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. There is no law against those things. If I'm doing good to you, there is no law against me doing good to you. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Get this next line, verse 25. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step. We have to clearly understand what the Word is telling us. If the Spirit of God is in us, then keep up with the Spirit. But it's too much confusion. It's too much stuff. It's too much junk in our life that we don't hear what the Spirit is saying and how the Spirit is leading us. And so therefore, we cannot keep in step with the Spirit because self get in the way. And we start interjecting what we think we should do, how we should do it, when we should do it, instead of listening and not leaning to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge God and He will direct our path. All right. All right, now. Let us not become conceited thinking we all that. I'm here, and I'm here too, and but it's the Holy Ghost here. Let us not become conceited, provoking. Getting folks to do stuff. Provoking with the idle talk and gossip. Provoking. And envying. That ain't nothing. I can do that. They got it. I can get it too. Let us not do that. But if we're going to live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. There is two parts of us. The Spirit versus the flesh. And we think the fight coming up with Mayweather and whoever the other guy is, I don't know. We think that's the big fight. No, the big fight is inside you right now. That's the big fight. That's the big fight. Because no matter who wins that fight, you still got this fight. This is the fight of your life. This is the fight for your life. If there's ever a fight you want to be engaged in, this is the fight to be engaged in. Your spirit versus the flesh. That's bigger than any HBO special. You can't even pay for this. You just got to work this out. We know that the spirit and the flesh are in direct opposition, and they wage war against each other and against us, because it's in us. We constantly fight who's in charge, my flesh or my spirit. I said I'm going to do it one Sunday. I'm going to stand at the door and say, who's in control? Everybody to come in, I'm going to ask you, who's in control? And depending on the outcome will determine the message that I preach. Because you can say my spirit, but spirit, no spirit. You can fool some people some of the time, but you can't fool the spirit none of the time. I'm trying to help somebody now. You can wrap it up, make it look pretty, paint it all you want, put as much weave on it as you want, but the truth is the light. How you doing? Blessed and highly favored. And I know your house falling apart. But yet, all your hair in place, your makeup is with perfection. But yet, your household is all messed up. But I'm blessed and highly favored. I dare you to take it all off and just come real before God and say, God, straighten up my mess. Come in with tears running down your eyes and watch what God will do to help you stop crying. Come in with your heart open and saying, Lord, fix me. Be like David and said, Lord, I've sinned in iniquities. Wash me and make me whiter than snow. Come in and say, I bow before your greatness, God. Because you're God all by yourself. You are Jehovah Jireh. You've been my provider. You are Jehovah Shalom. You are my peace, God. Come in and ask God, Lord, work on me. I ain't worried about who in here today. I don't care if I'm in here by myself. All I want is God and your goodness, Lord. Sometimes I don't want to talk to y'all. Sometimes I don't want to be bothered with y'all. All I come in here for is to get a touch from the Lord. Don't start telling me about your problems. I got my own problems. I'm here to talk to God just like you here to talk to God. So let us touch and agree that we both got issues and only God can fix it. Bend my spirit. We'll touch with your spirit. And that's when Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, touching and agreeing on the same thing, there I will
spirit and flesh, producing an eternal civil war that wages within us. We are hosts to two different natures. I'm going to read Romans 8 and 5, what Paul wrote to the Romans. Let's see how they conflict with each other. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. You're focused. You're going to do it no matter what anybody say, because you've been fixed. Your mind is made up. Your heart is set on doing what's wrong, and you ain't listening to nobody, not even to God. When you live like that, but conjunction, junction, what's your function? But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. And you wonder why you can't get along with some folk. Because your mind on the Spirit, their mind is on sinful, and y'all can't get along. The mind of the sinful man is death. They dying and going to hell. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And you wonder why you can't get along with some folk. The sinful mind is hostile to God. They don't want to hear God. They don't want to talk about God. They don't want to know nothing about God. Don't even mention his name. Anybody ever tell you just shut up? Yeah. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Don't flip. You come to church all you want. But if this sinful nature is in control, God ain't pleased. You can sing in the choir. You can play the instruments. You can usher the door. You can preach from the pulpit. But if your sinful nature is in control, you can't please God. Call it a day. Jesus said, I wish you was either hot or cold. Choose something and do it to the best of your ability. You're going to be a hellraiser. Be the best hellraiser you can be. Do that thing. Do it. Do it. Be the best hellraiser in the world. Do it. Jesus, I wish you was one or the other. But you trying to straddle the fence, trying to shake it on Sunday and praise him on. No. I wish you were. But since you are lukewarm, said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth.
Right.
And the spewing you out of your mouth is when he say, I don't know you.
Right.
You, look at somebody and say, that's you.
That's you.
Tell them again, that's you.
That's you.
That's you. All right,
now.
You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you.
Come on now. If it
lives in you. If. Paul knew who he was writing to. He know that everybody ain't going to have the Spirit. But if you do, if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. I'm trying to help us understand who we are. You believe in Christ, the Spirit lives in you. Spirit lives in you. Therefore, in other words, brothers and my sisters, we have an obligation. But it is not to the sinful nature. In other words, I don't have to give in. I ain't got to do it. I can just say no. Just because it's dead don't mean I got to do it. I know you cussed me out, but I ain't got to cuss you back. I ain't got to do it. I know you stole from me, but I ain't got to be hating on you. I ain't going to do it. I know what you did to try to destroy my life, but I ain't going to clap back at you. I ain't going to do it. I'm not doing it. Because I don't have to. The sin of the law of sin is not in me anymore. I'm living by the Spirit of God. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But conjunction. What's your function? But if by the Spirit you put to death, you want to know how to do it? You do it by the Spirit. You put to death the misdeeds of a body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. That's what the word just said. That's what the word just said. This battle of our natures has always been there. I'm going to throw some scriptures at you real quick and we're going to go home. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. Hello. 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 That's why when we die, our body, our flesh, goes back to the dust. But the Spirit of the Lord, our spirit goes to the Lord. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what's weak. Sometimes when we do stuff, well, our spirit is agonizing. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But the flesh is what we, and we do it anyway. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Because when you're born in the flesh. And until you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become born again. Yes. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ, I feed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. And even now, you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, you are not of the flesh and behaving only in human ways. Then he says this in Corinthians. You are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Somebody, what the world? If the train gonna wreck, let it wreck. We keep trying to save people from destruction. But sometimes that's the only way God can talk to them. As the prodigal son. Daddy, give me what belongs to me. You ain't worked a day in your life. What you mean what belongs to you? Give me my inheritance. That's supposed to be when I die, so you can live once I'm gone. I want it now. Father gave it to him. Here you go. The Bible said he took his inheritance, left home, and went to a faraway country. And living righteously. In other words, doing everything he was big and bad enough to do. But I want you to notice something. Daddy didn't go chasing him. Daddy didn't go trying to see what he was doing. Daddy let him go, knowing that he would end his life in ruins. Daddy let him. I'm trying to help somebody. We keep getting in the way. We keep trying to save them. We keep trying to keep them from destruction. We know where their life is headed, and we just keep trying to step in, keep trying to step in, keep trying to step in. But yet and still, we can still keep seeing them going down that road of destruction. Stop stepping in. That's hard. That's hard. I know it's hard. I'm preaching it, but it's hard. That's hard to do, especially with your child. That's hard to do. But you got to let them go. The Bible said, after he figured out everybody he partied with wasn't his friend. Because it said that when he ran out and he went to them, they ain't had nothing for him. Some of us know we got kids who got friends that ain't no good for them, but you can't tell them nothing because all they say, that's my friend. That's my friend. You don't know him like I know him. That's my friend. Your friend taking you to hell and back. But that's my friend. Okay, well, go on with your friend. And then when he couldn't find a job, couldn't get a decent job, here he is, a Jew of rich inheritance. His daddy got millions stacked on millions. And here he is trying to find a job. So here he is, got to find a job, get a job that he wasn't made for in the first place. Jews ain't got nothing to do with pigs in the first place. Here he is slopping pigs, feeding pigs in the pig pen. And here he is, a Jewish young man with his daddy riches all get out and go. He in a pig pen. It's only then that the light bulb come on while he's feeding the pigs. The Bible said he came to himself. Shut up, straight horn. He came to himself. And a lot of times folk can't come to themselves until they figure out God is all they got. You keep stepping in, they know that mama gonna step in. They know daddy gonna step in. I'm gonna do me, I'm gonna do me like I wanna do me, cause mom and daddy gonna step in. I dare you to step back.
It's hard to do. Hard to do. Hard to do.
But it's only then that they may come to themselves. And then they say, wait a minute. This young ruler said, hold on, wait a minute. Wait 1 minute. Wait 1 minute. I'm remembering when I was at daddy's house. My daddy's servants didn't even slop pigs. My daddy's servants got it better than I got it right now. You know what? I'm going to go back home to my daddy. Not to be his son, but I got to humble myself. Lord, Daddy, I jacked it up. Can I just come home and be a servant? Can I just come home and serve? At least if I come home and be a servant, I have a warm bed to lay my head. At least I know I get a little salary or something from being your servant. So the Bible said he got up, tried to brush himself off, but you know you can't brush off stank. Because the Bible said he got up from where he was and said he going home to daddy. On his way, the Bible said that his father, you know your child. I don't care what they've been through or what they look like. You know your child. You know their mannerism. You know how they walk. You know what they look like. The Bible said he saw his son in the distance. And he said, that's my boy. And he started going towards his son as the son was going towards his father. That's the only time the father went out to the son is when the son got his mind right and ready to come back home. The father went out to meet him, fell up on his son and embraced him with the stench and everything else. Notice, I'm trying to help somebody right here. This is crucial. Y'all ready for this? Y'all ready for this? Y'all ready for this? He didn't say, where's the money I gave you? He didn't say, what you been doing out there? He didn't say, didn't I tell you before you left that you was going to jack up the money? How you going to pay all that inheritance back? No, he didn't say none of that. The Bible said he wrapped his arms around him and he embraced him. And he put the ring on his finger. And he put the royal robe back over his shoulders. In other words, he gonna cover all the stench with the royalty of the robe. So now the father don't see the son in the stench. He see the son in his rightful position as to who he is. And he brought him on home. Now that was grace. The ring and the robe and come on home, that's grace. But the father showed grace and mercy. Let's have a party. Let's kill the fattest calf. Let's throw the biggest party this city have ever seen. Let me show my son how to do it right. Shut up, straight horn. Let me show him how to throw a party and don't go broke. Throw the party, but here we are. The other son, who stayed at home, was doing what's right. Why are you doing all that, Daddy? Your son, not my brother, your son went out there and messed up all that money and you bring him back in this house and you gonna throw him a party? I've been here all the time. You ain't never throw me no party. But what you don't understand, son, you've been living in royalty. You ain't really had to work a day in your life. But your brother, who was lost, has now been found. So the daddy put it right back on him. You may try to disown him, but he's still your brother. That's why. Because he was lost. You've always been here. You've always enjoyed it. You've always been able to be under my roof. You've always had everything that your heart desired. You always had it. But your brother, he got lost. And now he's found. We have to truly understand that God has us to show grace and mercy at all times. You are so foolish. Having been gone by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? In other words, if you've experienced the Spirit, why are you going back to your old ways? That's just crazy. That's just crazy. If you are acquainted with the Holy Spirit and His work and alerted to His working, we are conscious of this war that's going on. For the flesh is and always will be in opposition of the Holy Spirit, and we will turn to one or the other. You're going to serve somebody. The presence of a sinful nature, notwithstanding the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is a source of full and everlasting satisfaction in life. I'm helping somebody right now. Living by the Spirit is the best thing you can do. Jesus told the Samaritan woman that her thirst would be quenched forever by living water. And that water is Jesus. And through Jesus, the Holy Spirit came. And he made it plain at the Feast of Tabernacle. On the last day of the feast, on the great day, he stood up. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Spirit has said, out of his belly flows river of water. There's a well inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit. Is there a noise in your belly? Is there something God put in there he's trying to birth out of you? What's inside your belly ready to come out? What has the Holy Spirit placed in you that he's been working on? Some of us been pregnant too long. Yeah. God put it in your spirit for a little while. It was supposed to come out. You were supposed to birth that thing a long time ago. But it's still in your belly, rumbling and bubbling. Come on. Right. Come on. Yeah. Get it out. So let it out. Look at somebody and say, let it out. Let it out. So why should we settle for an average church when the Lord wants us to be a Spirit-filled church? And why should we settle for a reservoir when the Lord offers us a river? Why should we desire to be containers when the Lord wants us to be a channel to flow through? And why should we settle for a breeze of a ceiling fan when the Lord is offering us a mighty rushing wind? Somebody feel it right now. Somebody feel it right now. Somebody feel it. Somebody feel it right now. They feel it right now. They feel it right now. Bubbling up in their spirit. They feel it right now. What the Lord is doing in your spirit, you feel it right now. No longer will you be the same. After today, you got to be a belly full that is flowing with living water. There's a rumbling. There's a bubbling inside of you. You got to let it out. Are you willing to let it out? You got to learn how to push. Women going through labor, what did the doctor say when it's time to deliver? Push. It may be painful. You got to push. May not feel good right now, but you got to push. For 9 months, you wonder what this baby going to look like. You won't know until you push.
Oh, I know they got all kind of stuff, ultrasound and all that kind of stuff, imagery and all that. But only when you push and the baby is delivered that you see what the baby really looks like. God is birthing something in you. Are you ready to push it out? Are you ready to be led by the Spirit as you are being filled by the Spirit? After the day, your life should never be the same. Because the Spirit of the Lord has revealed himself to you. I can tell you this right now. Everybody in this room, the next time you want to do something wrong, this message is going to pop up in your brain. I can tell you that right now. Because you got a decision to make. Do I want to do it or not? And sometimes the answer is just say no. Some of us are struggling with some things. We're wrestling with some things. We're like Paul when he wrote earlier to the Romans and he said, the good I would do, I don't do that. I don't want to do that's what I end up doing. That battle is constant in some of us. But that's the difference. As long as you're struggling, that means you're trying to make it through. You ain't just laying down and giving in to it. I got to wrestle with this thing. Then you need to be like the prophet and said, I ain't letting you go until you bless me. If I got to wrestle this thing all night long, we're gonna tussle with this thing. When you bless me, I'll let you go. I was watching a movie the other day, and it was a documentary on being addicted to drugs. And when you try to come off of drugs, there's a period of time that you really struggle. When you stop using that drug and trying to become clean, they say that's the decision period. You're either going to make it or you're not. And it's a battle. It's a struggle to get off of drugs. It's a struggle. It's a constant struggle because that period is very painful. Because the body is trying to get what it desires, which is the drug. And you're fighting against it because you're not going to do it. So the body goes into convulsions. You can go into seizures. You can have all these different episodes within you. But when you make that breakthrough, when you come out on the other side, I'm trying to help somebody, then there is peace. But guess what? You will always have the struggle. Because every day you got to make a decision not to use again. Every day. And for some people that is hard. But with God, what's impossible with man is possible with God. For the Bible said, with God all things are possible. Same way with your spirit. Some of us have been wrestling with the spirit for years. He's been calling us to do some great things, and we just keep wrestling back and forth. Your breakthrough is now. Your time of wrestling is over. Today is your day for a breakthrough. Let the Spirit flow out of you. How about this? Just try to be nice to somebody today. Amen. Amen. Just do something out of the norm you normally wouldn't do. Just be nice to somebody. If you go out and eat today, be nice to the waitress. Don't scream at her because she forgot to bring you another glass of water. I need better service than this. Knowing good and well you be waiting 2 or 3 hours at home to get your own drink of water. Amen. Amen. But do something different. Let the Spirit lead you today. If you do what's right, you'll be right. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Amen. We praise God.